Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Fix the Family Fix America Radio Show!
Difficulties, strife, life, and everything getting all between us. We are here, Jack Hatfield, your humble host for Fix the Family, Fix America Radio, finally coming to you as it should every time that we say we're going to be here, we should be here, and we are going to do all that we possibly can to make sure that does not happen again. Too many technical issues. Wow. All right, people, remember, here's how we begin. Confucius said, to put the world right in order, we must first put the nation in order. To put the nation in order, we must first put the family in order. To put the family in order, we must first cultivate our personal life. That's right, Fix the Family, Fix America. Our exclusive 4+1 method includes four ways, plus one, obviously. Positive fathering, make a difference mothering, pull through parenting, and finally reveal your success. Our plus one is disease and the diet, where we are revealing the secrets to stopping, healing, and preventing degenerative diseases affecting millions of families across America. And we've got a lot of that news stories for you today as well. So we are glad that we're back. We must first apologize profusely. You, every single one of you, obviously did your homework. And if you're new listening to this show, I'll tell you what your homework is going to be tonight or for the next week. It's going to be every single person you come in contact with. That's right. If you pass them on the road, you hit them with your car, the other car, so that you stop, and then you say, sorry, but I had to do that because I need you to listen to Fix the Family, Fix America. Then if you're in the mall or you're walking down the street and you pass a person, you say, tap them on the shoulder. Hey, I need you to listen to Fix the Family, Fix America. That's your homework all this week. Every single person you come in contact with, you say, I need you to listen to Fix the Family, Fix America. That way we can put our nation in order by putting our family in order, by putting ourselves in order. I have so many stories beginning here soon. We may run out of time, even though this show is now 200% longer than it used to be. Excuse me, 100% longer. My libation this evening. Libation this evening is very, very hot. It is a green tea mixture. I'm putting a little cream in it here in a minute. And it's going to be fantastic. But anyway, your homework 2 weeks ago because we had so many issues last week. We just failed completely. We were trying to do a show and the technical issues of the studio, the technical issues of the all of our switchboards, our microphones, everything crashed, burned, got ugly. You couldn't hear me. I couldn't hear you. I couldn't do anything. It was terrible. And I apologize. I must say that we are going to attempt to fix that and never have that happen again. We are going to be here for you this week and every week from now on, because I now know how important this is. Let me tell you, let me give you a little hint. Because all of you did your homework. All of you did your homework. Yes, I am going to get a little bit of cream in my tea here in a few minutes. But all of you did do your homework because we, listenership, ratings, stats, everything, quadrupled. Quadrupled. Stunning. Absolutely stunning. Quadruple. Now, we want to, if we do that every week, we quadruple every week, by the end of July, the world should be listening. I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure. Like, if you put a penny and double it on a checkerboard, by the time you get to the last spot, it's $52 million or something like that.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. In fact, let's figure that out. Well, we'll do it in a minute. All right, let's get into some what we're going to talk about today. We've got some stuff. There's a they call it a mom suing somebody because she can't read or because she doesn't have knowledge. We've got some more California news where people want to make sure you use the stuff. Make sure you use your bad stuff good. And then horrible story of a pharmacy mix-up. And, of course, something that's probably obvious, but we're going to have to tell you about it. Kids are stupider, and we now know why. Then there's some penalties for what your child does to the parent. That's a new thing coming up. We're going to talk about that. Valentine's Day is coming up this weekend. We don't want to forget about that. We're going to talk about how chocolate, the love drug, is good for you. That's right, good for you. Everybody keeps saying no, but it is. I'm sorry. Then if we get time, we're going to 8 tricks to add years to your life. And then we're going to learn about what pregnant women have inside them besides babies. That's right. We're going to learn about what pregnant women have inside them besides babies. Then we're going to learn how another way your kids get stupider. Oh, wow. Then we're going to talk about, it's National Marriage Week, by the way. It is National Married Week, so we want to talk about that. But National Marriage Week is touting this stat that they found out as a good thing. We're going to talk about how that could possibly not be a good thing. And then we have, oh, goodness. We're going to talk about what the sexting possibilities mean. Parents, if you have pulled up your kid's cell phone and you see percent sign, asterisk, at sign, colon, dash, open parentheses, question mark, do you know what that means? If you pull up your kid's cell phone and it says into 2CB, WBU, do you know what that means? We're going to talk about what that could mean because you've got to keep on the trigger of what's happening out there in your teen's world so that you can be the best parent you can be, and that's what we're going to do. We're fixing the family. We're fixing America. Then children having all kind of issues in the stuff that doctors give out all the time. And, of course, the U.S. government is now doing something that will not surprise you, but once you think about it just a little bit, you get a little nervous. So we're going to talk about all of that here in the next 2 hours. We really, really do appreciate every one of you listening. One more sip here. Hang on. I can't thank you enough for doing your homework. I can't thank you enough for being here for this. Oh, wait. I almost forgot our next story. Remember 2 weeks ago before the technical issues all happened, we had like a 40-minute tirade on Bill Gates and his wonderful new pause, ladies and gentlemen. That was another little technical glitch there, but we're going to try to fix it. Anyway, we're going to find out what his $10 billion he's promising to do for you also. So stick with us. Technical issues and everything. We keep having them. We're going to try to eliminate them as much as we possibly can. But we appreciate you being here. We're going to promise to do our best. These things you need to know about. So get ready, get started, and let's rock and roll here, ladies and gentlemen. Why the glitches are and become and be and all that good stuff. I learned an awful, awful lot about that. My actual listening to my voice right now is very different than any other show before because I'm staring at two walls that are bouncing my voice back, where I'm usually staring away from the walls and my voice leaves me. It sounds way louder than it normally is to me. But this will all be fixed very soon, but again, it's not a big deal. Again, one more time, cannot apologize for more. If you have a small delay, just keep listening. This will be a two-hour show. This will be where we need it to be, and this will be the knowledge that you're not going to get this knowledge anywhere else. So that's why you listen, and that's why your homework, remember, anyone you come in contact with, if you're driving down the road and you see another car, there's a person in that. And if you go and stop that car and there's not a person in that car, you give me a call because I want to see it. But if there is a person in that car and you go stop them, you need to tell them. You need to be listening to Fix Family, Fix America. Okay? All right, so we got that started. Now, 2 weeks ago, if you were listening, not if you were listening, all of you were listening. All of you were listening. Trust me, quadrupled in listenership. This is amazing, and I would love it for it to quadruple again. If you can send out a link, another thing I'd love you to do is tell more people to get on Facebook and like Fix the Family, Fix America, and like, come befriend me, Jack Hatfield, right on the Jack Hatfield, Facebook.com, the Jack Hatfield. Follow me on Twitter and get some of these news stories when they happen. That's right. All week long, every day, all 24/7, we give updates right on Twitter. We do things on Facebook that help you be a better parent, be better people constantly. So we need you to go ahead and get on there and say, friend Jack Hatfield, the Jack Hatfield. And then go like Fix the Family, Fix America. And then come on Blog Talk Radio and listen up and tell people to listen and send out the links. And let's just get this thing growing so that we can put this nation in order. 2 weeks ago, we got on Mr. Billy. Mr. Billy Gates got on stage. He's been talking about this 2 years. Well, he just went in the World Economic Forum again and pledged $10 billion to provide vaccinations to children around the world within a decade. Remember, he wants to provide vaccinations to children all over the world with this $10 billion. Okay? To make 2012, he wants to eradicate polio by 2012, and he wants to make the next 10 years the year of the vaccines. That's right, year of the vaccines. Some of parents believe vaccines are causing a lot of issues with children, right? And we've gotten into that before, but we're going to stay on Billy Gates right now. He went, after we exposed him and what he was for, he actually went all over the news programs being interviewed by CNN's Sanjay Gupta just 4 days ago, trying to show his philanthropist side. Remember, this is a billionaire giving $10 billion. He just wants to help the children, right? Your children. Not just your children, but every child. So Sanjay Gupta says $10 billion over the next 10 years to make it the year of the vaccines. What does that mean? Very, very open-ended question. And here's something very crucial. Here's exactly what Bill Gates said. Here he goes. Quote, over this decade, we believe unbelievable progress. Okay, so we believe unbelievable. Never mind. I'll get into that in a minute. We believe unbelievable progress can be made in both inventing new vaccines and making sure they get out to the children who need them. That's right, I said inventing. We could cut the number of children who die every year from about 9 million to half of that if we have success on it. We have to do 3 things in parallel. This is the same quote, ladies and gentlemen. Eradicate the few that fit the profile, ringworm and polio. Get the coverage up for the vaccines we have. And then invent the vaccines, and we only need about 6 or 7 more. And then you have all the tools. This is the crucial part. Please listen. You will have all the tools to reduce childhood death, reduce population growth, and everything, the stability, the environment, benefits from that. I'm going to take a sip of my tea while you ponder what I just said, what I quoted he just said. I'm going to say that last sentence one more time. If we have success on it, we have to do 3 things in parallel. Eradicate the few that fit the profile, ringworm and polio. Get the coverage up for vaccines we have, and then invent vaccines, and we only need about 6 or 7 more. And then you would have all the tools to reduce childhood death, reduce population growth, and everything. The stability, the environment benefits from that. Now, if someone said that to you, you were listening, you're just a common, you're not a doctor like Sanjay Gupta. You're not a doctor. You're just a person. You're listening to him say that answer. Right? Like me. I'm just a guy. I'm a schlub. Karaoke DJ, right? I'm listening to someone and he said that answer. Would your next question be, there's been a lot of scrutiny of vaccines recently, specifically childhood vaccines. There's a lot of news about, is there a connection with autism? Would that be your next question? Or would you go, whoa, what now? Reduce population growth. That's right. Remember, 2 weeks ago we talked about it. His goal was to save the children so that we don't have more children. And yes, we drew the logic on a piece of paper and it went off the side of the paper and I have ink spots on my table. Remember? So let's get in a little bit to Billy here. He says it right there in Sanjay Gupta interview, says reduce population growth, and Gupta does nothing about that statement. Okay? He asked him, is there a connection with autism, for example? What do you make of all that? Okay? And then he said, well, what about Dr. Wakefield? We'll get into who that is, because he wrote a paper in 1998 saying he thought there was a connection between vaccines and autism. And Gates said, well, Dr. Wakefield has been shown to have absolutely fraudulent data. He had a financial interest in some lawsuits, and he created a fake paper. The journal allowed it to run. All the other studies were done showed no connection whatsoever again and again and again. So it's an absolute lie. He killed thousands of kids. So Bill Gates now says, without a doubt, there is no if, and, buts, cannot be a connection between problems with vaccines and vaccines. And he's saying people who go and engage in anti-vaccine efforts, they kill children. This quote, and so people who go and engage in anti-vaccine efforts, you know, they kill children. Quote, he wants to reduce population growth, quote, and you're a child killer if you say, what about vaccines and a link to some so-and-so? I'm thinking Billy needs to go back to Windows and try to make that much better. He's certainly, I do not remember in that garage when he came up with the software. I don't remember them saying on the other side of the garage was the lab kit set where he was whipping up the vaccines that he's talking about today. I don't remember hearing about the lab kit set on the other side where he's shooting up children and going, look, he's happy now. Those stories never really hit the airways, I think. And never, I don't think they were in his book either. Did he have a book? I don't even know if he has a book, but he probably does. Somebody probably wrote one. Anyway, there's a biography about him, I'm sure. And I'm pretty positive that note chapter 22 does not say, oh yeah, and Bill Gates loves vaccines, because otherwise you're a child killer. Wow. So, again, Gupta going, okay, I'm going to ignore the child killer remark. I'm going to ignore the reduce the population remark. So, developing the vaccine, it's Gupta's next question. The scientific research that goes into that is one thing, and then distributing things, even after they've been created, is another. Someone said to me, this is Gupta still talking, that even if the cure for AIDS came in the form of a clean glass of water, we still couldn't get rid of AIDS in the world because actually distributing some of these things. That doesn't even make sense. If there was a cure, we'd find a way to get it everywhere, I'm pretty sure. And yes, it'd be hard to eradicate it all at once. But anyway, Gates goes, sort of agreeing with him, yes, there's fantastic ways of getting vaccines out, a system that has built up over the years. In the case of smallpox, they used the vaccine and eradicated disease all the way back in 1979. I'm pretty sure back in 1979 there was a lot less humans. Now get this. We cover, this quote's in by Bill Gates, Billy. We cover 75% of the world's children with the vaccines. Vaccination is pretty special because you can do a vaccination campaign anywhere in the world. All you're doing is gathering women from the villages, giving them the vaccines and asking them to go around and find the children. And then you pay other people who are independent to come in, look at the children, survey, and see what the coverage rate is. You also have clear indicators. Measles will always show you if someone isn't doing a good job on vaccinations. Kids will start dying of measles. So we know when we spend money, the group we asked to do the vaccination, they delivered. So he said, with his $10 million, if there are no kids dying, it's working. The logic of this man, remember, he's the same guy that says when you click on start, a menu pops up. You know? So, Gupta keeps going on about polio and smallpox. Smallpox being a model in terms of proof in principle that it can be done. Okay? And then Gates goes into, when you talk to mothers whose children are paralyzed, no matter how you labor, should be getting rid of the evil disease polio. After smallpox got finished, the lesson was from the miracle vaccine. So that we can give more vaccines and eradicate more diseases. Okay? So, now he's saying, Gates, Billy, also talks about national security. These vaccines and this $10 billion that he's spinning the data. So even if you care about national security, these health things are a very cheap way to make sure you are not going to have turmoil that would eventually affect the whole world. You got that? And then he goes on to say, the general idea of the rich helping the poor, I think, is important. Your sense of justice says, why should rich kids, who barely get the diseases and almost never die of them, why should they get the vaccines when poor kids who actually do die from the diseases don't get those things? It's an unbelievable inequity that there isn't that access. It's been 15 years, usually between when rich kids get vaccines and poor kids do. Okay? So now it's inequity. All right? Here's Gates' final words. Saving lives for well less than 1% of what you would spend in the rich world. And if you think lives are created equal, this at least says well that they're at least worth 1%. And that's ignoring the sickness you avoid. There was a survey recently that showed half the kids in Africa, because of infectious disease, have IQs of 80 or lower. That's cerebral malaria. What he says, that's malnutrition because their brain doesn't fully develop. And if you want them to be stable on your own, you've got to make sure that terrible sickness only hurts them their entire life is not there. By and large, it's a health intervention that can get to everyone. In fact, it's so simple, people often forget what a big deal this is. The 2 million people that would have died from smallpox now don't think, wow, I'm alive today because of vaccinations. But that's the case. Now, he keeps applying his logic to the one vaccination that was a success, eradicated a smallpox disease from the planet. So taking that one success, he thinks that model, back to his first quote, remember, eradicate the fugitive profile, get the coverage up for the vaccines we have, and then invent the vaccines, only 6 or 7 more. Only some more. All right? So what is Billy trying to do? Remember, he was really on to the population growth in the speech that we reviewed 2 weeks ago. This Sanjay Gupta thing totally ignored that reduced population growth comment. And never, ever brought it back up. And in fact, steered him away from it into other places where they just simply started talking about World Health Organization and other items that had nothing to do with what Billy was really trying to do. So the spin that he's trying to give himself after we exposed his true desire of reducing population growth to help. Remember, to help the environment. That's right. This is impossible to draw this conclusion. He is saying, remember, saving children has less children, which helps the environment and reduces population. He even said it in this interview. He could not hold that back. But Gupta never, ever, 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 ever talked about it. Gates also says, some corruption in worldwide health efforts are unavoidable. You understand that, right? He talks about unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, I have absolutely no knowledge of when my call stopped. I think it's been 20 minutes. No, it's been 2 minutes. So I'm going to have to assume I do not know where my voice was cut off. I am so sorry. I had no indication that there was a problem. Wow. Okay, so another technical glitch that probably caused a good 2 minutes of silence, and I apologize. But the other problem there is that was 2 minutes of silence that I did not know was existing. And I don't know my last words to you before we lost audio. Give me 1 second. We'll get back started. We'll be right back. Again, I don't know where the audio stopped, and I hope you're still listening because we're still going. Was talking about how Billy was wanting to save the world, but in reality, he's trying to hide his true intentions of reducing population growth and helping the environment, which Gupta did not question at all. And he also says that all of you who talk about vaccines giving you a problem, you're child killers. So let's get into some new possibilities about how Billy might not be 100% correct. Okay? New research. That's right, new research, Billy. There could be a link. This research reveals that there indeed could be a link between the controversial MMR vaccine and autism, as well as bowel disease in children. The study appears to confirm findings of that same Dr. Wakefield, who Billy said was an idiot and fraudulent, who suggested the possible link in 1998 and has since been accused of fraud. Okay, so he was accused of fraud, he was lying, whatever it took, but they listened to him and did another study that had nothing to do with Wakefield. Okay? So a research team examined 275 children. Again, this Wakefield suggested it back in 1998. Had nothing to do with what I'm talking about now. Examined 275 children with aggressive autism and bowel disease. Of the 82 looked at so far, 70 tested positive for the measles virus. Okay? Got that? They're examining 275 children. Of the 82 they looked at so far, they didn't get to finish because this is amazing that they found 70 out of the 82 they looked at so far was 100% positive for the measles virus. You're going, well, yeah, the measles virus could cause possible issues with, because even Billy said you have cerebral malaria and your child's IQ is very low. So viruses are bad because they could cause autism, bowel disease, but the vaccine can't be the problem. Oh, wait, here's the rub. In every case of those 70 testing positive for the measles virus, the virus was the vaccination strain rather than the wild measles strain. Wait, what? Say that again. Okay, a team, that's right, let me get this to you so you listen closely. A team from Wake Forest University School of Medicine in North Carolina, a dad blame good school, ladies and gentlemen. They are examining 275 children. That's on their list, 275 children. So our guy's got a list. Here's 275 children. Number one, Billy. Weird how his name was Billy. And we just talked about Billy. So, Billy, let me take some blood from you, Billy. All right? And they take some blood from Billy, and Billy says, test positive for the measles virus. Aha! There we go. Write that down. Positive for measles virus. All right? And look inside and go down the second one is Sarah. Sarah. Take some blood from Sarah. Ha! Positive for the measles virus. Look at that. Positive for the measles virus. Both of these children have, again, regressive autism and bowel disease. So this is a list of children with autism and bowel disease. There's 275 of them. Number one, Billy. Number two, Sarah. All test positive for measles. But because the results are so amazing, the team's leader, Dr. Stephen Walker, comes out and says, of all the 70 proved positive for measles virus, of those results we have in so far, all of the measles virus is the vaccination strain, and none are the wild measles. The research proves that in the gastrointestinal tract of 70 out of 82 tested children who have been diagnosed with autism, there's an evidence of the measles virus. Now, they are not coming to any conclusions of what measles virus in the gut is, but the implication is that it could possibly be coming from that vaccination. I'm not sitting here saying it's coming from the vaccination. They're not saying it's coming from the vaccination, and we dad blame sure know Billy Gates is saying it's not coming from the vaccination. However, the only strain is from the vaccination. Okay? Now, Is it unlikely that bowel inflammation from a measles virus could lead to autistic behavior? Because your bowels are often referred to as your second brain because they contain some 100 million neurons. Let me check, see, make sure we're all good. I'm going to keep a constant check. We're going to take small pauses in what we're talking about unless it gets too heated. I'm going to, yeah, I'm going to put that right there. Yeah, okay. So, all right. Let's go into an intrinsic connection between your gut and your psychological well-being, and then I'm going to give you a little personal look inside your gut, okay? This was written by Adam Hadazy in Scientific American last year. He says the system is way too complicated to have evolved only to make sure things move out of your colon. Okay? Scientists were shocked to learn 90% of the fibers in the primary visceral nerve, the vagus, carry information from the gut to the brain and not the other way around. That's right. They just found out that 90% of the fibers in the primary visceral vagus nerve carry information from the gut to the brain and not the other way around. The second brain informs our state of mind in other more obscure ways as well. A big part of our emotions are probably influenced by the nerves in our gut. What? That's right. Given the two brains' commonalities, depression treatments that target the mind can unintentionally impact the gut because the enteric nervous system uses more than 30 neurotransmitters, just like the brain. And in fact, 95% of the body's serotonin is in the bowels. So all the problems that we're finding out from all these antidepressant drugs that increase serotonin reuptake inhibitors and stuff and stuff and stuff, it's a little wonder that these meds meant to cause chemical changes in the mind often provoke GI issues as a side effect. Serotonin seeping from the second brain might even play some part in autism. Isn't that amazing? They discovered the same genes involved in synapse formation between neurons in the brain are involved in alimentary synapse formation. Okay? And if these genes are affected in autism, it can explain why so many kids with autism have GI motor abnormalities in addition to elevated levels of gut-produced serotonin in their blood. This makes sense since your gut and your brain develop from the same embryonic tissue. During early fetal development, part of the tissue grows into your central nervous system, your brain, and the other part develops into your enteric nervous system, your gut, or second brain. These two brains are directly connected via the vagus nerve, which explains why your gut health can have a profound influence on your psychological well-being. And I promise you this. It's true. It has to be 100% without a doubt true. I'm going to tell you why. Please be seated. Those of you who follow me on Facebook, Twitter, which I suggest you do now, go do it now. No way. Don't do it now. Finish the show, then go do it. Unless you can do two things at once. But then you'll stop listening because you're going to start reading those inane posts by your friends on Facebook and you're not going to listen to me. So wait a minute before you go there and then go there. Search for me, DJ Hatfield, and like and befriend me and like Fix the Family, Fix America. And then go to Twitter, Jack Hatfield, /Jack Hatfield, and follow me. And let's keep up all week long. Because waiting to this moment when we had those two technical issues, which I'm just very upset about. I'm actually still choking the technician over here. He's a really neat shade of purple right now. Anyway, that has nothing to do with what we were talking about. Let's get into a personal issue. And that personal issue would be, last year, remember, we were attempting to take care of my mother with her pancreatic cancer. We were doing and defeating that before a blood clot took her life quickly. Haven't spoke of this on the radio before. But as you could guess, there's some stress involved with doing these things, with quitting everything that you did. Quitting absolutely everything that you did and trying to accomplish that one single goal. There's small stresses involved. And I can promise you this, there was a pain that began in a muscle in my back. And thinking nothing of it, pull a muscle, little twinge here and there, big deal, no big deal. Part of getting, you know, part of life's little joke about getting older is little pains start popping up here and there. Well, it kept getting worse and worse and worse and harder to ignore and harder to ignore. And then finally on Christmas Day, a present came in the form of pain that I just couldn't ignore any further. And, of course, that sent me on a track to thinking my gallbladder was a very, very big problem. So I did 2 gallbladder and liver flushes. And I'm in the process right now of creating a ebook and e-video series of exactly what I did to put 500 stones out of my body in the toilet. That's right. And if you think that you are in needing to clean out your liver and gallbladder, I will tell you exactly how it was done for me. So I'm getting all that together, and that will be available very soon. But I can tell you this, the second brain, the gut, really, really tears up your head. I mean, it really messes with your psychological well-being. It starts draining on you. You start thinking things that... I'm not a negative thinker. But when that gut is hurting, there's a lot of bad thoughts come into your head. And you're not very happy. You want to talk about the biggest thing in my life was putting on a smiley face every day? When something is stabbing me, right in my back all the way through, all the way out, and then another one stabbing me here, and then another one down here. And the thrill of feasting. The thrill of feasting, which feasting is a thrill. Remember, as you should be excited about food instead of scared of food. I'm tired of the fear-mongering of how food is the problem. Yes, we're going to get into an article here in a minute where food is a problem, but it's certain food. But other foods and the good things that come from foods are not a problem. I'm tired of the fear of food. I'm tired of the fear-mongering of food. I'm tired of people saying food is bad. Stop eating food. Only eat this, this, and this. It's crazy. So the sheer act of feasting wasn't even fun because you knew, okay, it's going to be followed with a real, real beating. Which is going to take this real toll. It's going to hurt. And that goes right back to what I was just talking about, how the second brain could be causing some issues here. Personally, I know it's true. I personally know it's true. All right. Now, another person comes to the defense. Okay? of the 1998 comment that vaccines could be causing some issues. All right? This person is Russell Blaylock. He's a neurosurgeon retired from the Theoretical Neurosciences Research Center. All right? The syndrome described what we now know today as a form of autism made connections to intestinal inflammation all the way back as early as 1961. There were the Lancet articles in the Lancet and the British Medical Journals on how people were saying there's intestinal inflammation associations with a syndrome way back in 1961. So this has been going on for a while. Okay? Just as the fact that the most money-making drug like statin has articles and statin papers written by authors having multiple connections to the pharmaceutical makers of the drug, right? Bill Gates likes to point out that the fraudulent, you know, the guy he was specifically asked about, Dr. Wakefield, was tied to consultancy fees from lawyers building a lawsuit against vaccine manufacturers. Okay? I'm giving you the whole view. That's what we do on Fix the Family. We go deep into the story. We got on Billy big time 2 weeks ago. Because we found out that it's not about vaccines. That's the biggest thing about this. This isn't about vaccines. This isn't about children. It's about population control and the environment. And when we brought out what he said that you weren't supposed to hear because you weren't at the World Health event, no, you aren't special enough to be there, right? I'm not special enough to be there. And we don't need to be hearing exactly what he says at the World Health event. But we found out because we have people everywhere from this Fix the Family, Fix America show. And we don't stop. So when we point out that something said and done behind the closed doors of the wonderful stuff that's going on behind that door, and we point out how amazingly crazy that is, right? He has to go on shows. TV, stations, CNN, get interviewed by a well-known Dr. Sanjay Gupta. And he still couldn't hold back his statement of reduced population growth. But yet, Sanjay Gupta did nothing with that statement. They bring up this Dr. Wakefield telling you that any person saying vaccines and autism connection is crazy as a child killer. Child killer, bona fide, called you a child killer. But yet now I'm showing you that research between intestinal and GI tract inflammation and the syndrome, which is now known as autism, was happening way back in 1961. Okay? And then now we find out that this new study of this list, remember the 275 children, they've only went through 82 of them. 70 of those 82 have a measles virus in their gut. The problem is that measles virus is the vaccination strain. Mr. Gates, could I possibly be a child killer because I'm pointing this out? could I be a child killer? Because I'm saying that maybe we should do a little more research that has nothing to do with the money. Why don't you, if you're so sure that vaccines will save the world, take $500 million of that $10 billion and do it, and come help this University of Wake Forest, North Carolina, finish their study, and then look at what they find. Now, there's a lot of technical stuff behind the scenes of all that I'm trying to form you the whole picture, okay? And I'm trying to make sure I don't start saying big words like vaccinal encephalitis and disintegrative psychosis. So I'm trying to make sure that I can I'm bringing this out so we all can understand it, okay? The link between that MMR vaccine and the behavioral regression in autism could have occurred purely by chance. All right? Oh, this is tough. I'm trying to get this as good as it can. Now, the U.S. Vaccine Court has found that there's been a link between the excessive number of vaccines added to the vaccine schedule in the 80s and the dramatic rise in neurodevelopmental disorders. Okay? So you take a pen and then you put it in your hand, you take another pen and put it on top of that. Pen A is neurodevelopmental disorders, autism. Okay? So pen A is autism. Pen B is vaccines added to the vaccine schedule starting in 1980. And I want you to just draw a line, both pens on the paper, just draw it straight up to the corner of the paper. All right? We've done this same drawing all of last year. We did it over numerous of shows. We've done it with the engineered oils, soy and obesity, up. All right? We did it with heart disease and high fructose corn syrup. Same thing. As consumption of X increases, Y goes in parallel. Maybe I should do that differently because they always talk about X and Y being the cross. So let's do this. As the consumption of X increases, C, Q, it's better, Q increases as well. Whereas we have high fructose corn syrup and heart disease. Okay? Got obesity, engineered oils, and soybean. Okay? Diabetes, high fructose corn syrup. Yes, I said heart disease and high fructose corn syrup. When the whole world thought, saturated fat. And heart disease, right? We'll get into that in a minute. Let's stay with this for a second. All right. So anyway, the parallel of the vaccine schedule increasing and the dramatic rise in neurodevelopmental disorders They have noticed a detailed mechanism that explains the effect of excessive immune stimulation on brain development and behavioral problems. Right? The U.S. Vaccine Court and Department of Health and Human Services has been settling cases of vaccine-caused autism and neurodevelopment disorders since 1991. People were finding out intestinal inflammation and the syndrome was connected all the way back in 1961. And the U.S. Vaccine Court and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has been settling cases of vaccine-caused autism and neurodevelopment disorders since 1991. Now, this has been kept quiet. CBS News just recently reported those cases since 1991 of vaccine-caused autism and neurodevelopment disorders were settling cases in the court, the U.S. Vaccine Court, while at the same time telling the public there's no connection. Are you grasping this now? Okay? Now, Mr. Billy Gates is putting up $10 million to give the year of vaccines, right? The Public Library of Science just estimated that pharmaceutical companies spent $57.5 billion promoting their pharmaceuticals in 2004. Twice as much as they spend on research and development. Now, $57.5 billion in a year is a lot of money to who? The media. Because you know, turn on TV, there's a pharmaceutical commercial. Open up a magazine, there's a pharmaceutical ad. Open up your newspaper, there's a pharmaceutical ad. Do you really honestly think that the $57.5 billion cash cow will be criticized by the same media as hard as they possibly could? I'm just asking that question. I'm putting that out there. I'm putting that out there. You've got a $57.5 billion cash cow coming from the pharmaceutical world, Mr. Media. These are big questions, ladies and gentlemen. But remember, me simply talking about this makes me a child killer, I'm sure, according to Billy, Mr. Billy Gates. Now, I do not want to spend 2 hours on this, but I really, really need you to start thinking. We're going to dig into this. We're not going to stop. We're going to dig into this just like we're digging into the soybean industry. Do you know there's soybeans in your tuna? How is the soybean industry's salesman so damn good? Because, follow the dollars again. Follow the dollars again. Tuna with water. Tuna packed in water. Think about it. You're reading the front cover of the tuna packed in water. Turn around, it says tuna water, vegetable broth, salt. Well, guess what? They're required now to put that vegetable broth, it is enhanced with a soy-like product known as, you know, hydrolyzed soy, which is a form of MSG. That's now in your tuna. I guess to make it taste tunier. Now, we have fun on this show, people. We have fun on this show, but when we sit there and we make fun of Billy Gates and his $10 billion, but then we look at the pharmaceutical industry spent 55 times more in ads. Ads. And guess else? What else happens? In 2009, that's right, the media reported internal memos from Merck Pharmaceutical Company released during the lawsuit involving the Vioxx industry's injuries in Australia. Company executives stated Merck had to neutralize dissent from doctors who questioned the safety of the drug. One released email read, "We may need to seek them out and destroy them where they live." Merck is one of the largest pharmaceutical companies making vaccines. Does that sound like they possibly could be upset if you start talking about how vaccines may not be good and how this study of the 70 children has measles in their gut could possibly be making them very angry? Now I'm going to blow your mind in a few seconds. I'm getting off this. I'm done with vaccines for a few minutes. I know, it's amazing. All right, so small break, 9 o'clock. Then we're going to get into. We're going to have fun. Let's do it. Because it's very, very crucial. We are going to keep outing Billy Gates and his new vaccination, year of the vaccine, or whatever the heck he's trying to do, even though we found out 2 weeks ago exactly what his total purpose is, and that is, you know, population control and help the environment in the guise of helping children. All right, we Welcome back. Second hour of Fix the Family, Fix America. Remember, Confucius does say to put the world right in order, we must first put the nation in order. To put the nation in order, we must first put the family in order. To put the family in order, we must first cultivate our personal life. That's right. Your host, me, Jack Hatfield, is here for Fix the Family, Fix America. And in our second hour, we love to do what we all used to do in classrooms when school started, our great Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That's right. See, that is starting to have a small, tiny comeback in this country. And I see no problem with that whatsoever. We do it with an exclusive 4+1 method. That's right. Positive fathering. Make a difference mothering. Pull through parenting and finally reveal your success. Our plus one is disease and the diet, where we talk about what is causing all of these problems. Remember, this will be year two of degenerative diseases killing more humans than acute illnesses. So for all the talk Billy talks about of children dying, understand that children are dying of degenerative diseases far more than those acute illnesses he's trying to eradicate. Remember, for the children from those vaccines, with those vaccines. Now, take everything I just said. Everything we just talked about. Okay? And then grasp this. I spoke about $57.5 billion spent on ads from the pharmaceutical industry. And they are now taking down their drug development in the private sector, because the U.S. government is getting so in their face, right? So all these companies that were creating these all new wonderful drugs that have helped people, they're also creating drugs that are hurting people. Well, come to find out, now that there's so many drugs that are hurting people, the government goes, whoa, I'm going to get on your tail and you're going to start spending some money. Well, the private sector companies go, well, you know what, I'm going to stop doing it. I'll stop looking for new drugs if you're going to be up my tail. Well, the U.S. government says, well, what? So now we're not going to have any new drugs. Well, that's not good. Well, I just found out that the National Center for Advancing Translational Sciences is going to get $1 billion from our government so that they can do more research to create new drugs. So Pfizer and Merck and all those people that are spending only ad money on the drugs they have, okay? The Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, has approved fewer and fewer new compounds every year since 1995, meaning the Mercks and the Pfizers are laying off thousands of scientists to cut back on research spending. So our government's going to give the National Center for Advancing Translational Sciences $1 billion to conduct drug research. Is that a problem? Well, let me tell you what could possibly be the problem there. This would be a government-funded drug company. Wait, what? That's right. They are using this $1 billion to create a government-funded drug company. Now, the National Center for Advancing Translational Sciences sounds like it's no big deal. But what it is it's an extension of the FDA. the government creating its own drug company to go research new drugs. Now, if the drug company funded by the government creates a drug, do you think that drug will have any issues at all? And if it did, don't you think that that information could be suppressed in some fashion? Now, the federal government has already had a long history of siding with and protecting the drug companies, because they have given $2 billion helping drug companies bring the flu vaccines to the market faster. What? That $10 CVS flu vaccine was subsidized by government money, meaning it would have cost me $300 normally? What? Do you really need the government now getting into making drugs? Not just helping a private company make drugs, but make the drugs themselves. There are glaring problems with a drug company being sponsored by the government. The people developing the drugs becoming far involved in the people who ultimately determine their approval? Do you remember the swine flu debacle? And that was just the government going, oh my. And then the government looking at natural treatments like herbal remedies and supplements being cut and cut and cut, eventually you will not be able to go buy vitamin C, vitamin B6. Now, the National Institutes of Health is quick to say that NCATS, NCATS, right? National Center for Advancing Translational Sciences is not intended to be a drug company. But let me tell you their actual definition, according to the NIH, our National Institute of Health. NCATS is the facilitator of translational research across the National Institutes of Health and complementary to translational research already being conducted and supporting on a large scale in the individual NIH institutes and centers. NCATS will seek ways to leverage science to bring new ideas and materials to the attention of industry by demonstrating their value. Ideas and materials being brought to the attention of industry by demonstrating their value is short speak for I'm giving you a new product or service or an idea by showing you how you can make some money. Are you grasping this, ladies and gentlemen? Tie it all together for yourself. Tie it all together for yourself. That's why I need you to go tell everyone to start listening to this thing, because they're hiding this information from you. This did not happen. This isn't on CNN. Now, you can't get this information on CNN. It's not Fox. It's not on anything. The NCATS is nowhere but here on Fix the Family. We've got to start making a difference. That's why I need you to go tell everyone to start listening to the show. And, again, thank you to everyone who did their homework. Now, let's get into some stuff. All right. Let's get into something major. First off, I always like to do this for a second. to calm us down a little bit. No, I don't even have it. Let's do this for a second. Be right back. I love that jazz. It makes me want a martini. Okay, we talked about this real quick, and I'm going to try to get through everything that I said we're going to get to, and we always run out of time. But I really wanted to get into those vaccines today. I really did. And if you can, go to Facebook.com, The Jack Hatfield, friend me up, and let me know your thoughts on that the vaccine controversy. Let me know your thoughts on Mr. Billy Gates. And let me know your thoughts. If you have pictures of his lab kit of him creating the vaccines at the same time on the other side of the garage where he was working on the start menu of Windows, I'd like to see that, because obviously he's very deeply involved in vaccines, and that anyone who says that these are problems are child killers. And he wants to save your children so that we don't have a lot of population. Anyway, 99% of pregnant women have something else inside them besides babies. They have found that virtually all pregnant women in the 99% of the U.S. carry multiple chemicals in their bodies. And this chemical load includes some chemicals that have been banned since the 1970s, as well as others used in common products such as nonstick cookware, processed foods, and personal care products. That's right. Researchers, for the first time, took pregnant women to find out what they're being exposed to see what's going on with our children. And they analyzed the data for more than 160 chemicals and detected PCBs, polychlorinated biphenyls, organochlorine pesticides, perfluorinated compounds, PFCs, phenols, polybrominated diphenyl esters, PBDEs. You've heard these acronyms, but you didn't say all those long words. And by God, I'm amazed I'm saying them. Phthalates, polysilic aromatic hydrocarbons, PHAs, and perchlorate in 99 to 100% of pregnant women. Among the chemicals found in this study were the PBDEs, which are used to be in flame retardants, now banned in many states, along with DDT, the organochlorine pesticide banned in the United States in 1972. 75,000 chemicals are regularly manufactured and imported by the United States. 3,000 of those 75,000 are high volume chemicals, meaning over 1 million pounds per year are produced. These chemicals exist in your food, your water, your air, your personal care products, your home, and your office. These chemicals are everywhere, and pregnant women are no exception. But it is disturbing to know that 99% of pregnant women are carrying more than their baby by carrying these PCBs, PFCs, PFBEs, or organochlorine pesticides, which is now banned DDT, still in there. DDT was linked to cancer, neurological damage, Parkinson's disease, birth defects, respiratory illness, and abnormal immune system function. But pregnant women today have it inside them. These are hormone disruptors that may lead to reproductive immune system damage to the developing fetus. Remember, in a study of the blood of 300 newborns, the higher the infant's level of exposure to PFOAs, perfluorinated compounds, those chemicals that make nonstick cookware, right? The more the infant's level of the POFAs, the lower the birth weight and head size. And you know I'm an advocate of premature birth. Our daughter was premature. Perchlorate are salts derived from perchloric acid, which are used in defense and pyrotechnical industries. The military has used perchlorate since the early 1900s. It's a component of solid rocket fuel, among other things. Now, Most perchlorate salts are water soluble, so we're experiencing widespread land and water contamination in many areas of the world. Perchlorate is known to disrupt thyroid function and hormone production by inhibiting your thyroid's gland iodine uptake. At high doses, these affect fetal development, so the mother's toxic load can place an unborn child at risk to not grow and develop correctly. Is this what's causing some? I mean, I know it's an ongoing joke that the generation younger than you doesn't seem to be as smart as your generation. But now it's possible that we're looking at that to be absolutely 100% true. Now, take this toxic stew of the mother, and then they did blood samples on the newborns, and they contain an average of 287 toxins, including mercury, fire retardants, pesticides, and Teflon chemicals. So, how can we lower our toxic load? I don't want to ever give you possibilities without hopefully giving you solutions. Glass is the most inert container you can use. Nothing leaks from glass. So store your food in glass. Jars. You remember your parents always had jars. They saved every jar they ever got. And then they stored everything they ever had in those jars. And we're all okay, right? Start doing that again. Keep glass jars and store your stuff in there. Don't go out and get that brand new 292-piece set for $9.95. You don't know where that stuff was from. What's that made out of? Oh, wow. Avoid processed foods. Avoid spraying your home with artificial air fresheners, dryer sheets, fabric softeners. Yeah. Let's go into processed foods here real quick. Okay? Because we just talked about how it seems the generation behind you, it always seems not as smart, right? The prevalence of junk food and processed foods in a study published Monday has proven that it lowers the IQ of the children. So now we just talked about the toxic load in the mother, possibly giving the child a bad head start. Then that same mother, remember, lots of mothers not ready to be mothers, goes and says, well, I'm going to get my kid a McDonald's burger, cheeseburger. I know some mothers, that's all they feed their child. Well, listen up, mothers. Let me tell you why that's a problem. The study published on Monday comes from a long-term investigation into 14,000 people born in 1991 and 92 whose health and well-being were being monitored ages 3, 4, 7, and 8 and a half. Okay? Parents of the children were asked to fill out questionnaires that, among other things, detailed the kind of food and drink their children consumed. There, three dietary patterns emerged, okay? Three emerged. One was high in processed fats and sugar and fast food. Then there was a traditional diet, high in meat and vegetables. What? That's not traditional. We've been told not to do that. Oh, and finally, the health-conscious diet with lots of salad, fruit, vegetables, pasta, and rice. Okay? Now, when the children were 8.5, their IQ was measured using a standard tool called the Wechsler Intelligence Scale. Now, of those 14,000 children, only 4,000 of the children had complete data. Twenty percent of the children ate the most processed food, had a lower IQ, than the children who ate the other. All right? It was not a big difference. Let me point this out. It was not a big difference. It was like 5 points. It's a very small difference. But it's possible that that can make them less able to cope with education and less able to cope with some of the things in life. Now, the association between IQ and nutrition is a strongly debated issue. Now, why would that be strongly debated? Why do you think there would be a tremendous backlash of people saying processed foods make you not smart? Because from the pharmaceutical company spending $57.5 billion on ads, the processed food industry spends double that. Now, another reason they say that the IQ nutrition is a strongly debated issue because it can be skewed by economic and social backgrounds. They argue that middle-class family may arguably be more keen or financially able to put a healthier meal on the table or be pushier about stimulating their child compared to poorer household. Now, I'm sorry, but no matter what your economic development can be, is, you can still be pushier about stimulating your child to eat healthier. And if you think the only way you can exist is to eat poor, then you need to learn more to figure that out. The size of the study, again, is unprecedented. And they have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that a junk food diet is not conducive to good brain development. Because, remember, that brain is made almost exclusively before age 3. And gets almost totally finished by age 5. All right, so you've probably heard there's a new Texas measure talking about first-time teen sexting offenders. The bill being introduced is going to give the teen a misdemeanor charge for sexting, but it will also target parents of that teen. It requires first-time violators and their parents to undergo an educational program about the long-term harm of sexting. Now, yes, we could talk about this for hours. They're saying 20% of teen girls take an image of themselves on something like a cell phone that is sexual in orientation and transmit that to someone else. And they're being done by such a young age that they don't understand the consequences. So the government, of course, because you don't understand the consequences of what you're doing, has to get in there and give you a slap on the wrist. Well, what they're thinking about doing, it used to be a felony charge or trafficking child pornography, actually. Now they're trying to change that bill to where it's a misdemeanor, but they're also going to make their parents go through an educational program afterwards. So for you moms and dads out there right now that don't live in Texas, but you still want to know what's going on, do you know what N22CB.WBU question mark means? If you pick up your teen's phone, do you know what these mean? Do you know what tilde pound sign ZZZZZZ question mark means? If your answers are no, you're not a teenager who uses alcohol or drugs. That's right. Okay, I know you've picked up your child's phone and looked at IDK or LYK, right? Well, we all know the IDK, I don't know, LYK, like. So now there are places to try to figure out the 88 drug shortcuts, beginning with the letter A alone. Ladies and gentlemen. So if you need to look up something from your teenager's phone, you go to noslang.com. And you can look up what you find on your child's phone. Do you understand A-boot, for example, means someone is under the influence of drugs? CU46, you see that on your child's phone? That means CU for sex. GNOC means get naked on cam. Janock. Did you know that? And how about that N22CB.WBU? You know what that means? I'm into hallucinogenics. What about you? That's right. You see that on the phone, N22CB.WBU. You'd be going, this person's crazy. Well, it means I'm into hallucinogenics. What about you? Because 2CB is a type of psychedelic narcotic. What about WTG4A/ percentage sign /? Now, if you could see this typed out, if you can type this on your keyboard, if you're listening to this on the web, WTG, want to go, 4A, and then the two slashes and percentage sign looks like a cocktail with ice in it and a straw. Want to go for a drink. What about percentage sign asterisk %?/? That means I'm hungover and got a headache. Now, I'm going to have to remember that. I'm going to have to write that. No, I'm just kidding. All right, what about this? CTNPOS.TDTML8RK??? Quote. Stands for can't talk now, parent over shoulder. That's right, you terrible, terrible spying parents. Parent over shoulder. Talk dirty to me later, okay? Returning the kiss. That's an awful lot of stuff from those 10 things I just told you. What about no420?WIYP? They're saying no weed. What is your problem? And how about this one? LM4A?/ZZZZZZ > If you see it typed out, it means less meat for a joint. Looks like a cigarette burning on the end. Parents, you got to learn this stuff. You got to stay connected. The world's moving around very, very fast. You can find other teen lingo translators at noslang.com, teenchatdecoder.com, netsmarts411.org, 1337talk.com. If you see something on your phone, on your kid's phone, you need to figure it out. All right. Here's one humongous message. All right, that this parent found. I don't want to go into it much, but it's a bunch of this. 1W4550J4CK3DUP straight line 457N1687 15C0R3D50M3CR4CK47. You get the gist, right? The translation of all I just said was, I was so jacked up last night, I scored some crack at the party, so I'd have it for tonight and tomorrow, and Jimmy took off with it. The 45H0 straight line 3. I am all jittery and need to meet up with you tonight after my parents think I'm asleep. Can you meet me at Bojangles at midnight just for a few minutes? I need a little, and I can pay you back on Monday, I promise. Wow. They have their own code, and it's your job, parent, to figure it out. Got it? Good. Now, we have not had any issues in so long. Aren't we excited? Okay, I don't want to pass this up. I want to talk about chocolate before this all goes away. We don't have a lot of time. How much time we got? We're looking at 16 minutes. We're running out of big time. Here's some horrible stuff right here. There's a L.A. County. Get this. I know. Pharmaceutical industry doesn't need any more help, but this L.A. County is put out a pamphlet to at upcoming events on tips to avoid overdosing on PCP and mescaline, otherwise known as ecstasy. That's right. The big conglomerations at dance parties and stuff like that, they're now putting out pamphlets and leaflets on tips to avoid overdosing on ecstasy. Stuff like take frequent breaks, let your body cool and rest. Stay hydrated. Don't mix ecstasy with other substances. Recognize overdoses. Keep an eye on your friends. Don't drive. Aim low, dose and frequency. Stay away. The only one that says don't do it. And then educate yourself and the friends. Are you grasping this, ladies and gentlemen? Instead of saying, instead of enforcing, they're just putting out pamphlets that you're going to read while you're at a rave. Oh, that's exactly what a teen's going to do. They're going to be going to this rave. They're going to get this pamphlet. They're going to go, oh my goodness, I did not know I needed to stay hydrated. I am so glad I got this pamphlet. Let me place it, fold it up carefully and place it within my pocket. That's exactly what the team's going to do. Great spending of money. Now here's an absolute horrendous mistake here. I've got to talk about this. Pharmacy and Safeway. This mother, 6 weeks pregnant, went to the pharmacy to pick up her antibiotic her doctor prescribed. The pharmacist gave her an abortion drug by mistake. Wow. What a mistake. The Safeway pharmacist gave Marina Silva a prescription of methotrexate, which is used in chemotherapy regimens to treat cancer and also used to terminate early stage pregnancies. Before I go into a tirade, which I'm going to hold off just one little. I'm going to hold off today because I want to get to another story. We talk about we talk about how the current cancer treatments, chemotherapy being not good, we now see that it obviously can't be that good because it's going to terminate your pregnancy. But I digress completely from that. Anyway, the methotrexate was intended for a 59-year-old woman with the exact same last name as Silva's and a similar first name. Okay? She was rushed to the Valley Medical Center where they gave her charcoal to absorb the drug and tried to make herself vomit. And hoping that the child is going to be okay. Right as of right now, she has not lost the child, but they're monitoring her very well. Safeway has apologized. And, of course, Ms. Silva is saying sorry, he's not going to cut it. And I would kind of have to agree. But then I also would kind of have to agree that you should read for you. In fact, you have to sign a form to say you're accepting your prescription. So we can't, you know, you've got arguments on both sides there. Now, we are going to have in 2 weeks, hopefully in 2 weeks. Remember, I was the first American interviewed by Adele Omani, a great, spiritual, wonderful lady over in the UK. And you can listen to that at, goodness, I just lost my piece of paper. Light, what do we remember? Light
worker, something.
I will find out in a second. Anyway, we're hoping to have her on in 2 weeks for you to listen, because that's just going to be fantastic. We're going to interview her right here on this show, Fix the Family, Fix America, for a very long time. And we're going to start having more and more people. But anyway, it's at radiolightworker.com. You can listen to that interview. Radiolightworker.com. And she's the UK's leading law of attraction strategist, changing your thinking, changing your life. And we hope to have her on in 2 weeks. So I don't want to miss that reminder, ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, back to this. This is very bad. And it's very often practiced in pharmacies to ask for your address when issuing prescription medication, just in case the names are similar. And you're supposed to check that as well. So we do hope that child is okay, and we do hope that mother is okay. Real quick, here's another Nutella job. Another mom not doing her utmost here to help moms around the world. California mother is taking Nutella to court, ladies and gentlemen. Nutella, for those of you who know, is the hazelnut chocolate spread that is delicious. Okay? But she's taking them to court alleging that sandwich spread that purports to be a nutritious treat is actually loaded with unhealthy sugar and saturated fat. She's saying she ate it and she was shocked to learn that after eating it, doesn't say how long she ate it, but she was shocked to learn after eating it, it was not a healthy, nutritious food, but instead the next best thing to a candy bar, and it contains dangerous levels of saturated fat. Let me continue on the story before I digress crazy. She's seeking possibly to turn this into a class action suit. She says in its marketing, Nutella touts its cocoa and hazelnut spread as an ideal for busy moms trying to nourish their children with whole grains, and says the Nutella can form a part of a balanced meal. There is no lie in that whatsoever. Nutella can form a part of a balanced meal. Nutella's ingredients are this: sugar, palm oil, hazelnuts, cocoa, skim milk, whey, yes, of course, soy lecithin, and vanilla. The suit by this mom alleges many consumers of the product would not have purchased it if they'd been aware of the health claims surrounding it were overblown. What? I'm sorry, but Nutella can form a part of a balanced meal is not an overblown health claim. Not only does she want money from this company, because she can't read, apparently, but she wants them to launch a new ad campaign correcting their misleading claims. Now, Nutella's been around since 1940. It was created by Pietro Ferrero, a pastry maker in Italy. Now, its nutrition label shows there are 200 calories in each 2 tablespoon serving. The suit, get this. The suit notes consumption of saturated fat has been shown to cause heart disease, and consumption of processed sugar has been shown to cause type 2 diabetes. That assumption alone should be where this case is thrown out. Because if the court sides with that fact, ladies and gentlemen, the government will be able to say to you that it has been proven without a shadow of a doubt saturated fat will kill you. And we've shown you time and time again how the engineered oils are the problem. Your coconut oil, olive oil in moderation, regular organic butter, all shown to make you healthier, your heart healthier, and stop diabetes faster than anything. So that's the reason I wanted to bring that up. Not only the fact that she can't turn the label around. Remember, our own FDA still has this law coming up on the books where they want to put the nutrition label on the front of the package. That's right. They want to put the nutrition label on the front, which would make the company put their brand name on the back, which would make the grocery stores have to turn it around, right? So that you could see what you were buying. Anyway, that's an actual law our Health and Human Services is trying to pass. She simply grabs Nutella, turns it around, reads the ingredients, reads the label, says, I personally think saturated fat's bad. This is her talking. I personally think saturated fat's bad and sugar, so I will not consume this product. Yep. All right, Valentine's Day is coming up. Let's talk about the cocoa in that Nutella real quick. I've only got 4 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. And again, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Please do your homework. Tell everyone to listen to this show. It's going to get more fun, better all the time. I know the vaccination tirade. I just wanted to get into it. Please join us on Facebook.com, The Jack Hatfield. Follow us on Twitter for updates all the time on what we're talking about. And then, of course, be back here, same bat time, same bat channel. And if you're listening to this any time of the week, you listen to it whenever you want to, because that is the key. That's why we record it and put it on and make it happen, ladies and gentlemen. Fix the family, fix the family. And I want to say to you, I thank you very much for being here. So, Valentine's Day is coming up. Chocolate, got to be bad, right? No, it's not. Cocoa, the primary ingredient in finished chocolate, is rich in antioxidant polyphenols. Okay? This is protective chemicals found in red wine, tea, and coffee. Okay? Caffeine in chocolate is the most widely consumed stimulant on Earth. So, you take the two compounds in chocolate, caffeine, theobromine, and the antioxidant polyphenols, and that is beneficial to overall health. Caffeine stimulates blood flow to the brain, increases secretion of neurotransmitter serotonin. Remember, we just spoke about that being in brain 1 and brain 2. And the alkaloid improves mood overall, lifts the spirits, enhances both cardiovascular function and respiration. Now, chocolate is a modest caffeine source, with a 50-gram piece of dark chocolate giving only 10 to 60 milligrams of caffeine, compared with a 5-ounce cup of coffee, which can yield 180 milligrams. Modest amounts of caffeine provides a healthy stimulant effect. Okay? And then theobromine, the central nervous system stimulant, gets right to the heart of increases the brain's level of serotonin and gets right to the heart of making you feel good sexually, the sexual pleasure, and everything. Plays a role in the positive mood, emotional health, proper sleep, balanced appetite, everything. Decreased serotonin, and remember serotonin is created in brain 1 and brain 2, is a well-known factor in cases of depression. Increased brain serotonin promoted by chocolate increases sexual excitation, desire, and responsiveness. Women having more serotonin in their systems than men appear to be more sensitive to chocolate. It provides a mood boost to women during PMS and menstruation when serotonin levels are often down. Chocolate puts women and men in the mood for love. Men and women with depleted serotonin levels demonstrate increased aggressive sexual tendencies, a higher rate of masturbation, and increased promiscuity. So, the more chocolate you feast upon, the better you will feel, the better your sex will be, and the better your whole life will be. It is good for you, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. If you eat a lot of it and there's a lot of sugar in it, it's not going to be that good. So let's don't be crazy. You know what we mean when we're talking. You're a smart audience. You're the smartest audience in the world. Now, smart audience, I got to tell you, make sure you do your homework. We quadrupled in listeners in the last 2 weeks. I'd love to do it again. If you could tell everyone to please listen, I'd greatly appreciate it. If you know anyone with vaccine issues, I'd love to hear about it. Go to Facebook.com and friend me, and then send me a message and let me know. Or you can always send it to jhatfield@Natural Success Principles. My website is Natural Success Principles. Fix the family, fix America. Now, do your work, kiss your spouse, and have a libation on me. See you later. Have a great one.